This podcast is supported by Washington.org. Washington, D.C. offers visitors so much to explore. Just ask Dayo, who shared her experiences from a recent visit.
What was your favorite food all weekend?
The Ethiopian food at Sihei.
And the first place you would visit again?
The bookstore, Little District Books.
What did you appreciate the most?
Really just like the genuine kindness of everyone that I encountered this weekend.
Why should people visit D.C.?
Well, D.C. is a place with such a thriving culture.
Washington, D.C. has something for everybody. Plan your next trip at Washington.org.
Welcome to Podcast Deluxe, your Let's Meet Up and Digress of Weekly Cultural Review. I'm John Caramonica, critic at The New York Times.
I'm Joe Coscarelli. I'm a reporter at The New York Times.
Before we get into this conversation about the many comebacks or arrivals or rearrivals of 2024, I don't want to lose sight of the most important comeback of 2024, which is the comeback of Podcast Deluxe. We are here. We remain. YouTube.com/podcast. That's our channel.
It's growing.
Smash a subscribe. Smash a like.
Get active.
Leave a comment.
Be part of it.
Yeah. So
it's a community.
There's a button. Honestly, if you read the comments, it is a community.
Yeah.
I know you're being glib.
No, I'm not.
But actually. Anyway, it's YouTube.com/podcast. Press subscribe. We're just two grown men asking you to press a button on the internet. It's a digressive week in popular music the last few days. Lil Nas X is back.
He is, like J. Christ.
Yeah. Lil Nas X is back. We're going to talk about the return of Lil Nas X. Did Lil Nas X ever truly go away? Does the specter of Lil Nas X live with us, whether or not he himself is present?
Like Jesus Christ?
I mean, as a non-religious person, that's hard for me to know about that, but sure, conceptually.
Coming out as agnostic on podcast.
I am. Do the people need to know? I guess the people now know. It's early in the year, and you know what that means. People are making comebacks.
Mm-hmm.
They've been hibernating, like in the holiday season, and everybody says, you know when's a great time to come back? January 12th.
Right.
What a
Not
time.
January 2nd.
No.
That's a horrible time.
No, definitely back. Don't come back in January 2nd. Yeah. But January 12th, enough time's passed. People have settled in. They've taken the vacation week after the vacation week.
Yep.
What better time to release
the real vacation week?
Right. That's.
Yeah.
What better time to release a 21 Savage album, for example, than, right. than January 12th?
To quickly release a 21 Savage album.
Like, literally, this album didn't exist when we recorded last week's episode, I don't think. Anyways, a new 21 Savage album and trailer.
Yes.
There's a new Ariana Grande song and video. Mm-hmm. There's a new Jennifer Lopez song?
I saw the various vinyls that they're releasing, and someone on Twitter was mad. There was like backing up the vinyl plants for this.
Okay.
It was like many colors of J-Lo vinyl.
I do want to say this. Look, we're not going to talk about Jennifer Lopez song. My only note on the Jennifer Lopez
song. That's my song of the week.
And thank you so much for joining us. It's been great doing Podcast Deluxe with you all these months. The Jennifer Lopez song is so low on Spotify New Music Friday that I almost missed it.
Wow.
It's like
they don't know her.
Yeah, they really don't. So anyway, regrets. Apologies to Jennifer Lopez. Beautiful gowns. We're going to talk about Lil Nas X, 21 Savage, Ariana Grande. We got songs. We got snacks. Let's get active. Lil Nas X, J. Christ.
Should we just play a little of it first? The video? The biblical video?
You press play. You do it.
You don't want to see him crossing over Satan?
Dunk with the arm?
He should have called the song White Iverson.
This is J. Christ.
You know who produced this song? Okay. This is produced by Lil Nas X and his frequent collaborator, Omar Fetty.
Yeah.
Sure. His guitar multi-instrumentalist / friend, ex-boyfriend of Addison Rae.
I was going to say, honestly, not best known for, but not known for.
Fumbled. Whatever. Moving on.
Addison Rae come on Podcast Deluxe.
Oh,
like obviously
triple threat.
Like honestly, like is that our alpha get for 2024?
We're putting it into the universe.
Yeah.
Manifesting.
I'm not like a big manifesting guy, but I do think you have to sometimes ask for the things that you want.
Yep.
Addison Rae, come on Bobcast Deluxe.
We're only going to talk about literature.
We're going to talk about literature and we're going to talk about leaks. That's it.
Yep. And the third producer on this is Gus Eiffelstein, producer of Yeezus era. And The Weeknd.
What I would say is I miss the old Gus Eiffelstein. I think I did a live review of Gus Eiffelstein once. Very bizarre thing to write about, like 600 words of a live performance of a guy who just doing, you know, very strange.
My wife's favorite musician.
Wow.
And she lost her mind at the last Gus Eiffelstein show. I didn't go, but I have like video footage of it.
Good stuff. Are you going to play it?
No, too high for a podcast. The thing about this beat is
What is the thing about this beat?
I never expected Gus Eiffelstein to do a Gucci Bandana type beat. Can we just play a little bit of Gucci Bandana?
Yes.
And then we'll talk about the song. Hey, Gucci Bandana. Gucci Bandana.
Hey, Gucci Bandana. Gucci Bandana. Okay, let's be transparent. What percent of this beat did Gus Eiffelstein, like which parts are
maybe him? Like the like dark sort of bridge and outro, you
did
know?
He know, like, was this on like a hard drive that was floating around? It's like on a Google Drive and Omar Fetty was just like, oh, that noise, like I'll just use that noise, like.
But he only makes like analog stuff in the room. No. That's like the whole thing about him is like he's super into like his gear and like, you know, keyboard sounds that nobody's ever heard before. That's what I'm saying.
Get
like
your money, man.
Everybody, it's the beginning of the year. Tax season's coming
that's
up.
That's right.
Like
bag season.
Yeah, bag season.
Bag season.
So forgiven Gus Eiffelstein, but overall, top line read, J. Christ, Lil Nas X comeback single.
How far into this episode are we going to get before I'm forced to say that this song is bad? Right now. Okay. One of the most memorable things that's ever happened to me in my time at the New York Times. Genuinely. You know what I'm about to refer to?
We're going
to
play it.
Okay. So this is Grammys 2022?
A couple of years ago.
And you were... I think about it so often. I think about this just like on random Wednesdays or whatever. We were making a video. It was a Diary of a Song spinoff video.
Critics Roundtable.
Yeah, Critics Roundtable for the Record of the Year category. And Lil Nas X...
Montero, Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, Call Me By Your Name was nominated. And we're in split screen. I'm sitting in my house. You're sitting in front of your familiar red piece of paper.
Montero, Call Me By Your Name, the second defining song of Lil Nas X's career. But is it good? Hold on, scratch that. But is it music?
That's ice cold, dog. The answer, now as then, is not really.
Yeah.
I'm struggling a lot with this. But I do think, and I think I'm writing about this, so there may be a piece that expands on this a little bit. The thing that Lil Nas X is, not that he's figured out, I think most of us figure it out, but who really, the thing that he weaponizes so well, songs are not songs. A song is not a song. A song is an aggregation of component parts to be snippeted, to be memed, to be meta-contented in some way. Every Lil Nas X song, to me, doesn't function in a classic music sense, but it does function as a like, oh, that little bit, oh, that line, oh, that, like these small moments. And when you add that to the video, which is basically just like a greatest hits of like old Lil Nas X concepts
and moments,
memes, yeah, or micro
the
moments,
shoes.
The pole going down to hell.
The devil. And I guess what he's doing here is like clearing the slate, like saying like, here, I'm moving. Because then it ends on day zero, right?
And so
he's moving on to a new era.
Just let the silence layer.
Yeah, you're a little bit speechless. Okay, so here was my first thought when this song was announced.
You had a whole thought.
I had a whole thought. It was a meme. It was really a thought via meme, okay. Which is he announces that his song is called J. Christ, and the cover art shows him recreating Hate Me Now by Nas. recreating the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And the first thing I did was I went to The Onion from 2001, and I screenshotted Marilyn Manson now going door to door trying to shock people, which, like, you couldn't help. My mind couldn't help but go there. I wasn't the only person to think about this. I'm sure it's on Twitter a bunch. But immediately I got the press release on Monday morning and, like, going door to door trying to shock people. Then you actually hear the song, and it is about that.
Yeah,
and
it's about, is he going to go viral? Is he, you know,
that's
like
the chorus. Yeah. Is he going to give us something viral?
Give us something viral, yeah.
Is the chorus. And also the song is about coming back. And I wonder what you think about, in general, about comeback songs about coming back. Because obviously there's Mace, Welcome Back, one of the greatest songs of all time.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Gucci Mane, First Day Out.
Gucci Mane, First Day Out. That's a different kind of coming back.
Yeah.
To me, that's like, not a lot of ideas for songs.
But there, well, first of all, as someone that's listened to the complete oeuvre of Lil Nas X,
right,
song ideas are not central to the Lil Nas X proposition. They never have been. I don't think. But some musicians, and I think we'll talk about this a little bit, maybe with the Ariana record. I think there are some musicians for whom the music is the raison d'etre for the comeback. And then there are some musicians for whom the comeback is the raison d'etre for the comeback.
Right.
It's more important to Lil Nas X to have the narrative of comeback and then invent a song around the narrative rather than, hey, we made a hit. What if this was the record we came back with?
Right.
It's lore first, song second.
Right.
Or maybe fifth.
The other
lore
thing,
first, meme second, video third, song fourth.
The other thing that's happening with this Lil Nas X song that to me indicated a little bit of insecurity in the rollout is that there's a lot of things being thrown. So in addition to naming the song after Jesus Christ, the controversial cover art ? There's also the lookalikes, the celebrity lookalikes in the video.
Kanye did it first. Better.
And, you know, some people were upset about
some
it.
Some people were upset. I mean, do you think Taylor is going to be upset about this
time?
I mean, obviously
not
the nature. No, I mean, also the nature of it. Like, there was nudity in the Kanye video, yada, yada, yada.
There were abusers.
Yes. There was the intimation of sex. Like,
alleged
yes,
abusers.
Yes. But, yes, there's a Taylor, Ed Sheeran,
Barack Obama, Oprah. So not only are these people in the video, represented at the beginning of the video, why? I don't know. Like, not in a totally coherent way.
Yeah, there's no, like, narrative payoff, unless they're, like, part of the whole five-song, five-video rollout in some way.
But then you get to Thursday night into Friday when the song is being released, and there's, like, a red carpet premiere, and the lookalikes are on the red carpet. And then you immediately, like, as if on cue, have the Popcrave tweet that's, like, here's all these stars describing Lil Nas X in one word.
If you had to describe Lil Nas X in one word, what word would you use?
Iconic.
Jesus Christ.
Icon.
Fantastic!
I'm going to take two words. National treasure.
Unique. I would say brilliant.
Jesus.
It's not funny.
No, and
it's
also
just not a good bit.
This podcast is supported by the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
I'm Julie Turkowitz. I'm a reporter at the New York Times. I have been trying to understand changes in migration. So I traveled with photographer Federico Rios to the Darien Gap, this hot, mountainous, 70-mile stretch of jungle straddling the border of Colombia and Panama.
We're hiking through a river.
just like covered in mud.
Many used to think that this route was impassable, but thousands have been risking their lives to pass through the Darien, almost all in the hopes of making it to the United States. We spent 9 days hiking through the gap and weeks building trust and relationships with migrants, with smugglers, with migration authorities to even be able to do this reporting. We interviewed hundreds of people who have made this journey to try and grasp what's making them go to these lengths to find a new life. New York Times journalists spend time in these places to help you understand what's really happening there. You can support this kind of journalism by subscribing to the New York Times.
No, and also, like, there are tools of a rollout. Like, not to get all inside baseball, but it's like, I am certain that, like, every publicist that we know works. Popcrave isn't just pulling stuff out of nowhere. Sometimes they're seeing stuff in the wild and posting it, but a lot of times they're being provided stuff. It's totally normal. It is what it is.
Sure, there's back channels.
Yeah, but even this Spotify Instagram post that says Lil Nas X is back with more mid music, he's weaponizing the tools of news distribution as pure promo. Like all of these things, I can't swear because I wasn't in the room, but like, I'm sure.
No, it's they're not just all hidden. Like the
it's all part of it's part of the promo.
Yeah.
Which to me, if it was done smart, would be a running joke about the paucity of authentic coverage of popular music. It would be, I'm using these venues and these mouthpieces to say something genuinely transgressive or unexpected or surprising.
Like the Her Loss rollout, for instance.
Yes.
Which was a
great,
more subtle version where Drake and 21 Savage do a fake Vogue. SNL, a fake Vogue cover, a fake this and that, like a Howard Stern interview.
Yes.
The things that would normally be done for a major label rollout, but they just didn't do them because they don't need them. And the joke is like, we don't need all you old gatekeepers.
And also, everything we're going to do is going to get picked up by those gatekeepers or by some version of those gatekeepers regardless.
Right.
It's our content. You're going to distribute it regardless, even if we're making fun of you. Lil Nas X's approach is less interesting. It's what if I weave myself in to the sort of like information glut stream?
You know when Lil Nas X was really good at this? Old Town Road.
Yeah, I was going to say 2018.
You know when he was a little bit less good, but still really good at it? Call Me By Your Name, Montero.
Yeah.
Like, you wrote about this and the shoes with the blood and the whatever, like, positively.
Yeah.
So, like, you were in on this gimmick at least for a while.
I mean, the thing about writing about Lil Nas X that is challenging is very rarely does the music live up to the concept, and almost very rarely does the concept live up to genuinely this person seems like the most charismatic person on the planet. There's even that moment in the Chappelle stand-up show, the new one, where he's like, everybody in a room is dreaming, but then Lil Nas X walks in and that person's having the most powerful dream. That's real.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
I'm certain that that's real. And one of the things that I feel like I've written about in some other context is like, he's going to be famous for our entire lives. I don't think he's going to be famous for this.
Right.
But, you know, he might host a show. Like, he might be the next Jimmy Fallon.
Right.
For all we know. You know, like, he might be the next Mr. Beast. Like, he, you know, there's a million
Drag Race.
Could happen. Yeah. To me, this is a person who's destined to be famous, natural charisma. But I think trying to, like, outsmart a music rollout with commentary about a music rollout, but not actually have the song underneath it that really is like, oh, well, you're really making points here. It just all feels so brittle. I look forward to the era where Lil Nas X doesn't have to make songs to be Lil Nas X. Song is the worst part of the whole thing.
What's interesting is the blueprint for this in the modern era, to me, is Cardi B. Cardi B is somebody who had all this charisma to spend. No one really knew where to put it. She's on the reality show. And then
on Instagram.
On Instagram. Yeah.
But I'm just a regular, degular, schmegular girl from the Bronx. I be dancing all around America, hosting all around America. And my goal is to make that money and turn everything up. Ain't no party like a Cardi B party. Like, you know I got that party pop.
Making some not great music. And then what happened was she got really good at making music.
Yeah.
She got great at rapping. And it just doesn't seem...
And still great on the internet.
And also, still, and didn't lose any of the charisma.
Yeah.
And that means she can push the era where she has to host a TV show 10, 15, 20 years.
Still waiting down the line. Still waiting on the Nanny reboot.
Still waiting. We're still waiting on the Nanny reboot.
Also, another great moment was when you asked me if that was my idea. Which right. It was. I mean, I did put it on Twitter, but I don't know if I was. It was a wild night on Twitter. Someone might have beaten me to it. Yeah, like 5 minutes.
Right.
But anyway, book that.
Doesn't seem now on the eve of the second Lil Nas X full length album that he's making those leaps
in music making.
So
the least important part of everything that's happening, and at least in the last rollout, the other things that were happening felt smart, felt clever, felt pointed. This just feels like an extension and a lesser version of that joke.
And yet some people still took the bait. Like you saw Kai Cenat saying God's going to handle him. Like,
how do I know that Kai Cenat's not in on it too?
Right. That was my next question.
Yeah. You don't think they call Kai Cenat and said, hey, and then like Lil Nas X going to pull up on Kai Cenat for a stream? Of course he's going
to
pull up.
Kai Cenat, the Twitch streamer, and we'll get to this when we talk about 21 Savage, is now involved in literally every single major album rollout.
Yeah.
Especially in rap and R&B.
Yeah.
My last question for you about Lil Nas X is, how much are you anticipating like what comes after this? Like, he has a tour documentary coming out from the Montero tour. There's going to be presumably more singles after the single that's about putting out a new single. Like, does he lose you, or are you still, is he still A-list pop talent? Like, is this still a major rollout, even with a lead single this disappointing?
He's an unusual case of an A-list talent in the wrong medium. If Michael B. Jordan suddenly put out a song, like, we'd have to pay attention to it. It wouldn't be. I'm just saying.
Damian Lillard's rap career says otherwise.
If LeBron, Chica Belordi put out a song.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. But like, we'd have to at least sort of be like, okay, that's something that a well-known, generally regarded as talented person has done. We should at least look at it. That's how I feel about this. Like, I'll always look at it, but I am confident that Lil Nas X's greatest work is very much in front of him, not behind him.
I do think 21 Savage is an interesting counterpoint here, because he too relied on a sort of trolly, meme-y piece of content to announce that this album was coming.
Very strange. Really, really strange. Like, not just trolly and meme-y, odd, legitimately odd piece of content.
This came in the form of a movie trailer.
Yes.
I still don't know if a movie is coming out.
No one has responded to an inquiry.
I've asked.
Yeah.
I did not get a straight answer, though I did separately, before when it was being framed as a movie trailer.
Yeah.
I got an email from the creative studio that made it. One of the creative studios that made it. We'll get to the other part. And it said specifically a trailer for his new album, like in the copy of the email.
Whoops.
They like gave the giveaway a little bit simultaneously to everyone being like, oh, there's a 21 Savage movie coming out and Donald Glover plays 21 Savage along with the kid from Stranger Things playing the younger version. This trailer has a song in it.
Yeah.
The first real song on the album, All of Me. Should we just play a little bit of the trailer?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
These people, they think we're savages. Remember the wishing star. Whenever you feel lost, just remember I'm looking up at that same star. That star is your dream. And they can never take it.
Should we also just show separately, like, Donald Glover and 21 Savage, like, just a side-by-side?
Did this work for you, this bit?
Like, what does that mean?
Like, did you think this was amusing?
It was amusing. It was vexing. I don't know if it was amusing, but maybe the fact that it was vexing, that it skipped past amusing, actually is a testament to success, because it's like, it lived in that liminal space of like, could be real.
Sure.
And like, 21 Savage has a genuinely fascinating backstory.
Right.
Not born in this country, here without documentation, like couldn't leave the country because he became this famous rap star, but is not legally in America, has an entire immigration situation, is arrested by ICE.
Which we didn't find out. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's British. He was born in England until 2019, Super Bowl weekend. I remember because I was in Atlanta at the Atlanta airport.
Oh.
When the news came out
that
weekend that he had been arrested by ICE.
Yeah.
And then you did a story.
I did an interview with him. I think the only interview at that time or in the sort of immediate wake talking about that, I was actually really struck. The thing that really jumped out at me in that interview, there's one line in the interview where he talks. I asked him, essentially, are you going to change what you rap about or will you rap about this? Like, this is now part of your narrative. And he said essentially, like, well, rapping about real things is sort of what got me here in the first place. It's what drew me. So maybe not. But on this album, the album's called American Dream. There are moments where he is rapping about real stuff. There's a moment he's rapping about the story. But we'll get to that. The meme-y nature. This is the thing about 21 Savage. 21 Savage is the most deadpan rapper. He has the squarest flow. I don't mean square, corny. I mean literally just box. Like, he's not playing with cadence.
A little bit more these days.
Yes, but like historically, like early 21 Savage, breakout 21, sure. It's like 2016,
etc.
Yeah. That's not what he was known for. A real literalist. But because he's so literal and because he's so, dark, he's kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. Dry.
Very
humor.
Yes, like very, very, very. And so you have these moments where you're like, damn, 21, so serious. And then he'll say something that if any other rapper said, you'd just be like, that's fine. Like, it's another bar. But him saying it in the context of his flow, the sort of levelness, the cool levelness of how he raps ends up being incredibly hilarious. And I was thinking about 21 a lot in context of the Lil Nas X rollout.
Right.
I'm like, Lil Nas X is constantly being like, do you see how hilarious I am?
Right.
You know how hilarious I was last time? I'm back 2X, 3X, 5X. And it's just like, spotlight on me, spotlight on me, spotlight on my spotlight. My spotlight's got spotlights. 21 Savage is totally the opposite. He's like, don't look at me. LOL. And it just, the way that he'll deadpan deliver some of these lines is so good. The trailer is the first like real absurdist moment of 21, but I do think he also took a page from the Her Loss rollout and was basically like, oh, we can do this. Let's do a version of that.
I was going to say though, 21 Savage has done a great job at becoming a huge celebrity and A-list rapper without sacrificing almost anything in his musical content, but doing increasingly large.
Yeah, toured with Drake.
Things like that. But even before that, the previous 21 Savage album had the Morgan Freeman thing.
Yes.
Where Morgan Freeman narrates the album. And there was a trailer for that too. And there is a lot of marketing muscle.
Yeah.
There is a lot of marketing muscle behind 21 Savage. But he doesn't like let it touch him. You know what I mean? He's like, he keeps a distance from it that still allows him to play his character, which is the character you described, the very serious, very
real stoic,
violent, very real stoic character. Yeah. And it never feels corny with him. He's really good at staying on the appropriate side of the corny line, which you can't say for a lot of rappers who have made that transition from street rapper to chart topper.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, in the tour last year, the Drake tour, the 21 Savage segment of that tour is a real like head jerk from the Drake segment of that tour. You know, 21 came out maybe like halfway through the show and then is there for 20 or 30 minutes. And then Drake comes back out and they're doing records together. It's a big stage for someone who maybe is not totally comfortable with big stages. You could feel the energy in the room shift. So there are fissures in the overall presentation, especially as it gets bigger and bigger. But I will say the concessions on this album, to me, there's almost no concessions lyrically or on a pure lyric songwriting level. the choice of samples, the weaving, him weaving in old soul. Like, that's actually the smart way to take 21 and say, you don't have to do anything. Just do you. We're going to build a world around you. You're not remaking your world. Your world remains as is, but we can build this thing around you. This is such a smart album. It's so well produced. It's so, it invests him with a gravity that's a layer of gravity on top of the gravity that he naturally carries. I thought it was really impressive.
There's one moment, there's a song, Letters to My Brother.
Fast forward and a major label signed me. Had to hustle, had to focus, perseverance. Mama used to go to TJ Maxx and shop on clearance. Tayman and CJ, I could still feel their spears. Skinny and 1-1 used to rap, I know they hear it. It ain't that easy, putting pain inside a lyric.
Yeah. Which seems to be a little bit about Young Thug and a little bit about many of his friends.
From older,
you know, who have either lost their lives or are incarcerated, whatever it is. And it is so Drake. Like, I need the AI voice filter version where it switches it to Drake, because even the way he talks after the first verse is a Drake-like thing. The flow is very Drake. And then the third verse is very Away From Home, the most recent Drake song from For All the Dogs, which has many precedents in his catalog, but he's naming specific people in his life and saying and using very specific details about him. And I'm like, oh, he is a great student and still not doing it in a corny way. Like, it's not
I made an album with Drake. And,
right.
It doesn't.
He brings it into his world.
And I will say, we're talking about cadence. Like, that's maybe the only, not the only, but it's the main song on the record where I feel him like playing with stuff.
With the soul sample.
And just like him like weaving.
Yeah.
Like in the other songs, like early on the album, I feel like he's like studiously marching on top of a very like luscious bass. That song though is one where I'm like, he's hears the music and is like, how do I insert myself in it? How do I weave into it? Whereas most of it is not like that. Did you think the trailer was appropriate for this album, or is the trailer just like, what if we made the funniest thing possible?
Well, it does seem to be a lot about the immigration journey. The album art is also that. There seems to be, you know, some more biographical push coming out. There was an Associated Press story in which his lawyer, Charles Cuck, says, quote, his immigration court proceedings have now been terminated and he is a lawful permanent resident of the United States with the freedom to travel internationally.
Which is a big deal. They're kind of burying this in an AP story, but like, this is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I agree.
Because this was by no means guaranteed at all.
And there's not really a song on this album, at least that I picked up in my first couple of listens, that details the entire journey of this and or where he expresses his relief at it now being over. So in that sense, I felt
that would
like
be very uncharacteristic.
It would, but in that sense, I feel like the trailer doesn't totally match the album, that it makes it seem like it's a little bit more about this stuff than it actually is.
Yeah. And also, again, the trailer is funny in a way that 21 Savage is not ordinarily funny. 21 Savage is not an absurdist. 21 Savage is deadpan and dry. And like you said, it's black humor. The trailer is like, you know, the trailer is a Lil Nas X trailer.
Well, and it is co-produced by Donald Glover's new creative agency called Gilga, which is, you know, his version of PG Lang, I guess.
Which is Kendrick's version of, I don't know.
Dream Crew?
Dream Crew.
Shout out to Dream Crew.
Version of Donda?
Sure. Yes. Well, the press release I mentioned getting that admitted that it was a trailer for the album had a very funny thing where in the part where it said where it was supposed to say Gilga's bio, it just said Gilga does not have a, and that was it, and it just cut off, which is like a funny Donald Glover joke.
Great.
The actual funniest moment on this album, I have two, but number one, Doja Cat's verse. I did not think, I thought, again, once again, I thought this was going to be a lame attempt at crossover, but Doja Cat can rap, which you've said many times, but the thing that she does in her verse,
top five alive,
the thing that she really does in her verse is she uses ad lib as an ad lib. where after every line, she just says ad lib.
Which is a 21 Savage approach to doing ad-libs.
Which is almost a sub at 21 Savage on his own song.
I know.
And yet, because it's Doja Cat and she's so mischievous all around, she's allowed to do it.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Can we listen to that, actually?
I'd like let's play the Doja Cat.
Yeah, it's good.
And then the other line that stuck out to me, which I said had personal resonance for me, which most 21 Savage lines do not, is when he says, I wear Nike Techs because I don't like shopping.
Fair. I thought it was the my shooter pescatarian.
Yeah.
He eat up all the beef.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Such a really, really good. 21 Savage has become extremely famous and had his profile like widened. I would say largely not through things of his own doing.
Right.
Like Drake.
Except his slut walk appearance. Show the pic.
You know, Drake is just like, we're going to make a record together. Yeah. We're going to go on tour together. It's like, what do you like? Drake, make a record with us. We'll go on tour. Like, so we'll do this at every date. But this album to me feels like has a potential to actually give 21 Savage the material to actually inhabit the scale of celebrity that he has been kind of like fast-tracked towards.
I think he's spread that out between the last album and this one. A song like A Lot with J. Cole was, I feel like, again, the best version of a 21 Savage loose crossover attempt and was humongous. And I think starting off the year with a big 21 Savage album that is presented and made and marketed as a blockbuster album, like he is what we've got at the top of hip hop.
Also, every feature on this record is good, and that includes the Travis Scott feature.
Okay, if you say so.
For Travis Scott, it's a very good Travis song. The Dirk feature, I think, is good.
I like that one.
The Mariah the Scientist one, I think, is good.
Mariah the Scientist doing Ariana Grande.
What a great transition. First of all, if you're ever to get rinsed for anything, that's what you're going to get rinsed for. But 21 Savage albums have been, I mean, obviously he's done collaborations, but like he's like Zach Bryan. He's hard to collaborate with because he's so stuck on tone. Right. It's very hard for another artist to be like, I kind of like, we're going to do this. We're going to be like EPMD. Like, no, you can't really do that.
Right.
Even Drake's best 21 Savage songs are kind of like Drake's doing like weird, like magical stuff.
You need a beat switch.
Yeah. And then like 21 just goes up and goes, yeah. You know, like it's just a total shit. This is maybe the first time the J. Cole record is interesting. Precedent for this is maybe the first time where I'm like, oh, everybody's like, we're volleying, we're playing ball together, we're playing the same game. Really promising. You just said Ariana Grande.
I did. Yes. And
what? And what? Boy, come on, put your
The questions around retirement have gotten tiring. Instead of, have you saved up enough? Shouldn't they be asking, what is it that you love to do? You're not slowing down, so your retirement plan should be more of an action plan, a hiking plan, a golf plan. Lincoln Financial has the products to help protect and grow your financial future. Make your pastimes last a lifetime at lincolnfinancial.com/action plan. Lincoln Financial Group, marketing name for Lincoln National Corporation and its insurance companies and broker-dealer affiliate, Lincoln Financial Distributors, Inc., 2024, Lincoln National Corporation.
Is it a shot at Pete Davidson to make your comeback single an improv comedy line?
No, I actually don't think it is. I actually don't think it is. She's too far down the theater hole.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is an Ariana Grande song, Yes And, with her frequent collaborators, Max Martin and Ilya.
Yeah,
these are the Swedish kings of making pop music. They're doing what, like pop house here? Is that right? And the lyrics are part Born This Way, you know,
what are the lyrics about?
It's like part be yourself, men can wear lipstick in the chorus, and then it's part response to tabloid headlines about me, don't worry about my weight.
Yeah.
You know, let's just play the intro to the video, which gets at her Reputation era.
Typical Ari.
You know, I think I liked it better when her ponytail was a few centimeters higher.
Right.
And I mean, who cares if she's happy? I don't want happy. I want Ari.
Before we get to the song itself, I have a question about the video. Who are these people meant to be?
Like internet commenters?
They look like they just went to the Freeze art fair. Like, literally, like, who are they? What do they represent? Like, I understand they're demographically broad. They're old. They're young. They come from different backgrounds or different body sizes. Sure. Like, I get that.
Strange casting.
Unusual.
Industry focus group?
Is it us?
Wow.
I'm just wondering.
It's the Euphoria meme. Is this play about us?
Yeah. Like, kinda. Anyway, sidebar. Yes, Pop House, it's giving 93, 94, 95.
The bridge is just Vogue again.
Yeah, is that not in the credits?
I don't know. How many times are we going to do Vogue as a top 40 community?
How many people have done it?
I mean, once Beyonce does it,
like,
you'd like, don't do it
just
anymore.
Just don't do it anymore.
Right?
It's not in the credits. I mean, I'm looking at Spotify credits. It's not in the credits.
Will be soon.
Yeah, exactly. lawyers are working overtime. By the time this episode comes out, it probably will be in the credits. If it's Vogue, which who knows, but if it's Vogue, it's a smart way to do it. It's not as literal, obviously, as what Beyonce did. It's ode to Vogue.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it smells strong.
But here's the thing about this song, and you talk about Reputation era, and there is something about this song that feels very Reputation to me.
Very defensive.
Yes, but that's not the thing. The thing that I said about Reputation in its moment that I think mostly holds up was that this is a great album, but it is not a great Taylor Swift album, in quote marks. It's an album that if it just arrived fully formed, you'd be like, this goes. But if you have to reconcile it with all the other lore, it doesn't quite make sense. This feels like a very good song, but I don't know if it's a very good Ariana Grande song. To me, the thing that Ariana does so well, incredible big voice,
sure,
unafraid of runs, really, really, truly a student of great R&B singers, great classic soul singers. I don't want to say she's a traditionalist, but I think at root, if she could just do like Adele-type records or whatever, like she'd probably be like, fine, I'm happy to do that.
We've all seen her impersonations.
Yes, she's very, very adept. This doesn't deploy any of that skill. This is a package that she is squeezed into. And again, I quite like the song. I think when I first heard it, I was like, and it didn't happen. And then by listen three or four, I was like, okay, coming to this cold or without the expectations, I think it's like quite a good song. I think it's going to do well. I'm also really interested in what it portends for a pop club renaissance, you know, broadly speaking.
A renaissance, you say?
Hey, yo. But I do wonder what it portends for the next year or two as far as like mainstream pop stars post BB Rexha.
BB Rexha, Shishu shall not be named. You said it under your breath in hushed tones.
Ava Max. Ava Max. This is, dare I say, a better Dua Lipa song than Dua Lipa has made recently.
Okay.
You know, like it's a really, really good record. It's a club record that's like unafraid of like classic early 90s house. It's not so crystalline. The thing about Dua songs is they're stitched so tight. They're so shiny. This is not that. It's got a little action. It's got a little moistness to it. But it's not a great Ariana vocal performance.
Right. It's a little limited.
Yeah. And it's like, how much of this are we doing? Are we doing a whole album of this? And if so, is Ariana just saving her pipes for Wicked?
When's that coming out? You know what this album's called?
I do not actually know what this album's called.
I'm excited to tell you. It is called Eternal Sunshine, which I saw someone having to explain on social media, Eternal Sunshine is a film starring Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet about erasing the memories of a previous relationship.
Yes.
And then I got my walker.
And then it, yes. Then the, men in black, the men in black does. They like gave us the...
That's what Eternal Sunshine is about. But seeing the fact that Ariana Grande fans is about that explained to them.
Yeah. And also, but is it about her former relationship or her partner's former?
Alleged
partner or alleged former relationship?
No, I think all this stuff
it's above board now.
I'm going to quote from the song in which she says, "Why do you care so much about whose blank I ride?" Can we leave it there? Are you blushing?
I am. You got a song?
I got a song.
Let's go.
Songs of the week. Mine is Bisa Rap, Argentine producer, been doing these sessions on YouTube.
Yeah.
The Shakira one was crazy huge last year.
Yep.
And the new guest, number 58, is Young Miko.
This is the actual song of the week. Just for the record, like very rarely is there like a song of the week. This is the actual song of the week.
She is a young Puerto Rican rapper featured on Bad Bunny's Fina, which I thought was the best verse on that album, guests or not. And she just is exuding so much charisma this song and video, which goes to many places.
Yeah.
This is a showcase, and this is somebody making the most out of their giant platform. I think it did like 10 million views in a day or something. Like, this is a smash.
It's really good.
Let's just listen to it. John, what do you got?
I'm also going to cannibalize. So we're going to do an episode next week about things we're looking forward to in 2024. This was a person who was on that list, but then put out a song this week. So might as well just go in.
Little preview.
Yeah, why not? This is Jastin Martin, R&B singer. You've heard the Jastin Martin stuff?
No, I haven't.
So she's had a few really good songs over the last year. There's another really good one. I think it's called Right My Wrongs. It's acoustic. Dare I say it's lo-fi? It feels like the moment when kind of like very rhythmic or like early neo-soul, but in reaction to it, like went very minimal. Dare I say like early India RE type energy? She has a really beautiful voice. She spaces out her words in a way that I find really satisfying. Feels just the tiniest bit reticent. It's the tiniest bit like I'm pulling back from it. I don't hear a lot of restraint in contemporary pop music of any category, pop, R&B, hip hop, Latin, whatever. Like we're not in a restraint moment. We're in a Dionysian moment. We're in a complicated, overwrought, dense things colliding with each other moment. We're in a moment of eccentricity. And when I first heard, I can't remember which was the first Jastin Martin song I heard, but I heard someone doing something that was so out of character for everything around it. It was hard not to pay attention. And then to add to the fact that I think she's good, obviously really exciting. So there's a new Jastin Martin song this week. It's called Meanwhile. Let's listen to that. You interrupted my heat, and I try to give you what I've been missing. Say we forever, and then you go missing. I see the difference. I treat you different. I deserve different. You play with my feelings. You say one thing and then go and flip it. You don't mean well. Should we eat a snack? Yeah, we really should.
Big day.
Yeah, yeah. I've looked at this pouch so many times on the table. I got to be honest, I don't even know what it is. I still don't know what it is.
Okay. This is a big crunky.
The crunky pack. A druggy pack landed.
Crunky pack.
Crunky pack landed.
Straight from Tokyo.
Great.
Courtesy of my sister, Alyssa Coscarelli.
Shout out, Alyssa.
Shout out to her.
Shout out.
Young legend. And yeah, she knows.
Alyssa came to my birthday party this year.
That's true.
Or last year, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She knows I'm a big sack person. She knows we do this on the show. So she sent us some crunkies.
Are you going to tell me what it is, or am I just going to have to just freestyle?
It's
chocolate.
Figure it out.
I'll figure it out.
It's crunky chocolate.
Yeah, obviously.
So these are chocolate-covered almond size, but a little rounder. And it's like it's a tempered chocolate. You know what tempered chocolate is?
No.
You don't watch Bake Off?
No. Okay.
It's like the shiny one.
Okay, so it's like an aerated rice kind of cracker in the middle?
Somewhere between a Kit Kat and a Crunch Bar. It's very classy. It's a respectable amount of chocolates. It's not American. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, it's not like the Pandas or whatever, where it was just like...
Yeah, or like an American chocolate of this size would be either way more or way fewer.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is just like a respectable amount. Like, I could crush this whole thing in like 92 seconds.
I think it's good.
I think it's really good.
I think it's so good.
It's really good.
It's mature.
It's mature. I mean, like a lot of Japanese snacks, they're like subtle in flavor. And
it's really refined.
Yeah, it's really refined.
It's really refined
for a chocolate ball.
And it's refined in size. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not one bite. It's two bites. It develops, because when you're cracking through the outer chocolate, that's one level.
Yeah.
And then you're biting into whatever the cracker is. That's another thing. And then when it mixes together, it sort of functions in a third way.
And the little crisps are like perfectly distributed throughout the chocolate. This is a 9+ out of 10 for me.
Should we start importing these?
Yeah, super good.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Yeah, this is a 9. Wow. This is really impressive.
Yeah, delicious.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
Really, American candy companies can learn a lot.
You're doing too much.
Yeah, do a lot. Right. Literally, say less. Very great way to go out. Great way to start the new year. Also, 21 Savage album and Crunkies. Phenomenal. That's our show. Every podcast ever is at nytimes.com/podcast. Podcast Deluxe. That's us on the chairs with the Crunkies. YouTube.com/podcast. Subscribe, like, comment, comment again. There's a lot going on. Email us, podcast@nytimes.com. Get the stickers and the shirts. It's thepopcast.myshopify.com. Mugs coming soon.
Oh, you're putting it out there.
Mugs TK?
You're giving yourself a deadline.
Yeah, Mugs TK. I feel like it's in the next few weeks. I think we're going to deal with that. The Facebook and the Discord. It's tinyurl.com/podcastfacebook and podcast Discord. Our producers in the room today are Sawyer Roque and Pat Gunther.
Jamie Heffitz will still edit.
Sorry, yeah, of course. Jamie Heffitz. Special thanks to Pedro Rosado, Leslie Davis, Nell Galogli, Karen Gans. We'll be back next week.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.